States in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatih, O people of faith, O people of Iman, adopt taqwa, in other words, become muttaqi, become a muttaqi. Now this, to adopt taqwa, to become a muttaqi, Allah is advising and guiding us to become a muttaqi. To enable this, to get to this point, one must do islah of his nafs. One must develop and improve his nafs. Without developing and controlling the nafs, the desires, the individual cannot become a muttaqi. To do islah, rectification, development of the nafs, because the desires have sicknesses. There are negative factors in the nafs, to look after the nafs, to identify the nafs, to control the nafs. All of this, you can say, all of this practice equals tazkiyah, purification. Tazkiyah, with regards to which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala said, "Wa yu'allimuhumul Qur'ana wal hikmata wa yuzakkihim." So Allah Ta'ala gave the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hikmah and tazkiyah. So this is also a subject which the individual has to learn and attain, to control the nafs, the desires. And our foundation for success in the hereafter is based on taqwa, to have taqwa, not on deeds, practice, practical deeds. If you are muttaqi, then your deeds will be accepted. If you are not a muttaqi, then your amal, your deeds will not be accepted in the court of Allah. The amal, the deeds should be such that when they're presented in the court of Allah, they're accepted, and you can only grant, get that granted through taqwa. That's why Allah says in the Quran that attain, obtain, develop your taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatihi. And whatever it is, you should try and make effort. Allah says, illa wa antum muslim. In other words, that you, your death, the real good death is that death that you, when you die, you have iman at the same time. If you want to die as a believer, if you want to have that death where you die with iman, then it is essential for you that you adopt taqwa during your life. So what we learn, the commentators have stated, that for having a death of iman, it's necessary to have taqwa, it's necessary to become a muttaqi. So this is not an option that I'll try or I won't try, I'll think about it, or should I make effort on tazkiyah or not, or learn it. Rather, this is the high level effort for the hereafter. For the hereafter. And Allah says, you cannot attain this ending with iman, that if you want death with iman, with belief, it's not possible. It's not possible without having taqwa. So, For tazkiyah, purification, tazkiyah equals purification, to clean yourself, to clean your nafs, which is within you, yourself, your base desires. There are different types. So what we need to do, we need to go towards those institutions, those places of learning, where you can learn the knowledge of cleaning and purifying the nafs. You must go towards those places of learning. Those places of learning, the famous word, just like to learn ilm, you go to the madrasa, darul ulum. So the place to learn tazkiyah is the khanqa. This is not some new word. It's just that we're not aware of it. Yes, what happens there? What learnings are distributed? This is a special title, that the khanqa, everything takes place. Quran is read, salah is prayed, you keep the fast, all the elements of Islam are practiced, and zakat is given. But the real essence of the learning of tazkiyah, the specific function of the khanqa, is to teach tazkiyah and tafsiyah of the qalb. So they're ongoing. The scholars are there, respected scholars are there. Allah Ta'ala chooses them, selects them. They are the mashaykh, the honorable mashaykh, the walis of Allah. And they coach with the student when he arrives. They accept that student. They work with that student and teach that student tazkiyah. And then that student works hard, makes effort on those learnings. So Allah is very clearly given a message here that you need to do this action, that you need to start and make the effort and work on haqqa tuqati as much as possible within your capacity. You try hard, Allah says. Keep trying. If you pass away, and come back to me. Whether you succeed or not, Allah says, but I will accept you. I will accept you. What a beautiful point this is. So what we learn here is that when you enroll in some syllabus, you want to earn the ilm, doesn't matter how weak you are, you haven't completed the syllabus, you keep falling and dropping, you're weak. But because you've enrolled in the institution, so Allah Ta'ala says, according to my guidance that I wanted, according to my instructions, you to learn my deen, you started making effort. Alhamdulillah, that's fine, that's good enough, Allah says. That's good enough. So our job, our task, my brothers, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the points He has taught us about the deen of Islam, just live your life according to them. Don't go left and right. Why are you getting lost on the track? You can't correct yourself then. Allah ta'ala has given us very easy points to implement in the deen. So Allah says, that path I'm demonstrating to you, guiding you, giving you the path, if you just follow that path, you will be successful. If you start it, Allah says, I'm not saying to you that you must complete the syllabus and come complete. You'll be weak, maybe you'll fall down, but keep trying. Like in a Darul Ulum, a child enrolls in a course of knowledge, he studies, he gets to the final year, Bukhari, then he fails. The Ustad say, okay, let's get him a pass somehow, and then he'll revise afterwards and learn afterwards. This happens, isn't it? So this is also the same here. That when the student enters into this place of learning, the khanqa, Allah says that you don't need to worry or be concerned after. Don't have doubts. All your sicknesses, because everyone has sicknesses, nafs, lying, fraud, deceit, riya, and showing, pretending. You name it. Fi qulubihim maradun fazadahumullahu marada. Allah says that you have the sicknesses, you have the diseases within you. If you don't control them, they won't stop. Today's a sneeze. Like you have a cold, first it's a sneeze, then you start blowing your nose, and then the germ spread, and then tuberculosis or cancer, and then the person's gone. Same way the internal sickness today, lying, then they'll become something else, then another sin, and then another sin. And if you don't work on it and cure it, the question doesn't arise that whatever Allah says in the Quran, it will definitely happen. Yes, this sickness will not stop. They will expand, multiply the disease within. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is a gathering of Islah. Rectification, that's why I'm discussing this point with you. So because our link is with such a madrasa, a Darul Ulum, which is called the Naqshbandi Order, we have a connection with that. Mostly I think those who are sitting here are students of the Naqshbandi Order. Yeah, Naqshbandi teaching. If you take any institution with a connection, Chishtiya, Qadiya, whichever you've enrolled in, but the Ustad, the teacher should be proper, he should be capable, the Ustad. Remember this point. Thus the ustad, the teacher, should be an expert. He should have a sanad, a chain of teachers going back, just like in hadith you have a sanad, a chain of authority, that I read this hadith from this sheikh, from this teacher. So in the sawwuf, tazkiyah, in the khanqa, the sheikh has a sanad. He's been given ijazah from his sheikh, And so then you could say, yeah, this is my order, my chain of teachers, Naqshbandi order. So in the same way, you students are working hard, trying your best, however you are. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us wherever we are outside, may Allah give us success in this path. So in the Naqshbandi silsila order, the Naqshbandi teaching of tazkiyah, the main two things through which you are doing tazkiyah, purification. The first thing is, obviously, you have to go to the sheikh, a teacher. And the sheikh, whatever he teaches you, instructs you, then you enter into the silsila through his guidance. So mostly, I give you some hints and some advice on what happens. So first is tawbah, step number one, repenting. Just like you do wudu before you pray, and for any ibadah, worship, you want to recite Quran, you do wudu. You want to do dhikr, you do wudu. You want to pray salah, you do wudu. You want to pray nafal salah, wudu. It's a condition. Same way, for tazkiyah, purification, the wudu of tazkiyah equals tawbah. So the first step in tazkiyah is tawbah, repenting. Was the wudu the ablution of tazkiyah? Is tawbah, repenting. So just like praying, you have to do wudu, then you can do ibadah. So for tazkiyah, the condition is first of all, foremost, what do you need to do? Tawbah, repent. And tawbah, the sheikh enables you to do tawbah. He teaches you how to do that. After doing tawbah, repenting to Allah, you then, there are two parts of tazkiyah, in Naqshbandi order, two parts. One is dhikr, the asbaq, the lessons, the levels and the lessons of dhikr. Dhikr, remembering Allah, there are stages that the sheikh teaches. And the second factor are the usul, the principles of the silsila. You've got things you will also recite, and kalamat, there's full syllabus. So I don't know about other Naqshbandi sheikhs, they're different, but what I'm teaching you is the tariqah that I am aware of, that I was taught. This is called Silsila Naqshbandi. The Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, he taught, and it's coming from him. So there are two factors. First is the asbaq of dhikr. Yes, you have on stages and levels, the sheikh teaches you. And the second factor are kalimat. In other words, there are some principles. These are both very important. So the mistake we make is that we maybe start doing a lot of dhikr, emphasis on dhikr, but we forget the principles of the order, of the silsila. And these are also very essential. So if you don't have both, you can't get tazkiyah. So both things you need to attain and learn and work on. So do you understand what is tazkiyah now? Do you understand the points? So why do we practice tazkiyah? Why do we go to a sheikh, a waliyullah? Why do we go to the khanqah? Not to become a waliyullah ourselves, become pious and see visions and dreams and become pious and well known. Remember this, it's not a new thing you're going to learn. Nothing new, nothing innovation. We are preparing for our grave when we pass away. That's the part of Islam. This is part of the deen. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. So we are going to the khanqah to get a teacher, so he teaches us the silsila, so we can get taqwa, so we can die with iman and leave successfully from this world. That's why we're practicing. Not to become a peer, a sheikh, and run a khanqah, be a leader, other people run after me, I want this and that, nothing at all. This is not the objective. Rather, this is the opposite. So two essential factors in when you become a student for tazkiyah. Number one is asbaq, and number two, the asool, the principles. Maybe I told you in a certain majlis that I will explain the usul, the principles of this order to you. I think it was Fajr Salah. I speak during Fajr. So I've told you lesson number one. There are 11 principles in the Naqshbandi order. And I think I mentioned the first one some days ago. You need to practice these and implement them just like you do dhikr. If you don't, then you can't do tazkiyah. So today I'll tell you lesson number two of the Naqshbandi order. Principle number two. Very, very important, this principle. This is part of deen, you could say, regards to Islam. It's a very important part of Islam. And this is also the principle number two of the Naqshbandi silsila. If you don't practice this, then I told you clearly already, that just like I said, that this is the lesson number one I told you some days ago. And the second principle today, I will tell you, what's the second principle? Is nazar bar qadam. In Farsi, these statements have been taught, because the Naqshbandi order initially was educated in the Farsi language, but these points I'll explain. So it's such a big point, principle number two, and this is based on Quran verse and hadith as well. Listen here, first, if we don't practice this principle, then we don't have iman. Simple, straightforward. So listen to this point. That what dhikr will you do if you don't have this implemented in your life? Dhikr is nothing if you don't practice this. Most important thing for a person's iman and belief is what? Is that we, along with our iman, with this kalima, we leave this world with this kalima. Iman. This is a great thing, isn't it? Is that we, this is what the whole hard work is for. Prayer, salah, hajj, everything. So that we do, so that we can die with iman and depart this world with iman. So this point that I'm talking about, that is to protect your vision, your gaze, your eyesight. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is principle number 2 of Naqshbandi order. This is connected directly, forget about sins. What's the punishment? Directly this is connected to what? To your iman. So your gaze, your eyesight, what you're looking at is directly connected to your faith, iman. Look how great this point is. Do you ever think about this? Direct, this is connected to iman, your gaze, your vision. Who? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the gracious Prophet, the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, what hadith am I telling you here? This is a hadith. And the meaning of the hadith is that when a person protects his gaze, his eyesight, what he's looking at, and he who doesn't protect his gaze, what he's looking at, and he who protects both, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about both of them. If he protects his gaze and what he's looking at with his eyes, then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that due to this action is such a great action, protecting his gaze, that he will iman with faith, with the kalima, he will leave this world. Tell me, what a great guarantee, alhamdulillah. All our worship, put it to one side. And this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember this in your life. How much you have to work hard, remember now what is tazkiyah, purification, yeah? As I mentioned in the beginning. It's very important point of tazkiyah. This is principle number 2. Make a note that your vision, your sight, your gaze is such a dangerous thing that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you want to die with iman and leave this world with iman, reciting the kalima, then for that you need to protect your gaze. And if you don't protect your gaze, then the gaze is from the arrows of shaitan. It's a poisonous arrow of shaitan. It's not just the arrow, because even the arrow of shaitan is bad enough. There are many hadith on that. He's got quite a lot of arrow of shaitan. But the evil eye, using the gaze wrongly, it is one of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. And today we are surviving in this world, my brothers. Listen to this hadith, listen to this statement, and then assess your iman. Facts are facts. Remember this. Reality is reality. Today, all of the evil eyes, the storm that is brewing across the world. Why? Why are people using their visibility, their eyes wrong? Because shaitan wants to spoil our iman. So most of all, he has emphasized and worked hard on this sin, that for these people such develop such sight, such scenes, such things, that their eyes cannot be saved. I'll make them pray salah, they'll go on hajj, I'll make them go umrah, I'll read them read Quran, tilawat, everything. I'll make them do dhikr, I'll make them go to the khankas, they'll do everything. But where will I make them fail? The place where the Holy Prophet said that this arrow, this is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan, and a poisonous arrow is that if that arrow is to pierce somebody, he cannot remain alive. You with me what I'm saying? Are you with me what I'm saying? That person cannot remain alive if he's pierced by an arrow, poisonous arrow. So the Prophet ﷺ said that when a person is using his eyes wrongly, then shaitan's arrow has pierced and he's not alive at that time. Who is saying this? The Holy Prophet ﷺ. Whether it's a woman, a sister, whether it's a man, a brother. Woman, she uses her eyes wrongly. If a man uses his eyes incorrectly, both will be in that same situation. And the Prophet ﷺ said that at that time that person's finished, he's deceased. This is the truth. Yeah, we are looking here, we're walking around, watching, seeing. We think, I'm alive. I've just prayed salah. I'm alive. I've read Quran. I just, mashallah, ate food and 10 times over and I'm alive. So which death is the Prophet ﷺ talking about? It's the death about which the Prophet ﷺ said that if you want to leave this world with iman or no iman, is stated, his iman at that time has disappeared when he's using his eyes incorrectly. He's alive physically, but his iman is not alive. Just like the people who have no iman, the disbelievers, they're walking around. They're physically alive, aren't they? They're physically alive. But in the kitab of Allah, what are they? They have no iman, so they are deceased. So that arrow of shaitan works on the person. This is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that when that arrow, the poisonous arrow of shaitan, goes and pierces you, injects you, where does it affect you? It impacts directly on your iman, and you have no iman at that time. The iman finishes at that time, disappears. And when iman disappears, then you will see that after a person looks at the wrong things with the evil eye, incorrectly, doesn't matter what actions he does after that, but the impact is not there in his actions. There's no impact. Yes? So there are sins and there's darkness and there's zulm, and he's practicing at the same time. Why? Because he has no iman at that time. And then there's another hadith. What a beautiful point. So if an individual, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, now the tazkiyah comes, the solution, purification. If an individual works hard on this point, this defect, what's working hard? Tazkiyah. Tazkiyah nafs. Purification of your desires. That individual works hard, he has fikr, concern, he finds a sheikh, he gets to the sheikh's institution, he spends time in the company of the sheikh, he has a connection, he spends time there, he works hard on what? His iman, his faith, his belief. Yes, what will you learn from a sheikh, a teacher? You will learn how to control your eyesight. This is how you, what you will learn in that environment, in the company of the teacher. And you will be improved. You get fixed. You get power and energy, iman. And you will get the power to fight your desires. You'll get spiritual strength. It will increase. And then on top of that, Allah's assistance and help will come as well. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah's help, without Allah's help, there's no success. But when the human being tries and he moves and he makes effort, Allah says, fine, you are weak. You can't succeed on your own. But I will start to help you, Allah Ta'ala says. So he wants that, I don't want to use my eyes in the wrong way. Allah's help has come suddenly and assist him. And he's saved from that sin. Say subhanAllah. So, and then, mashallah, he has full power. I've prayed salah, I've done dhikr. Today, oh, let me watch this program. So he's come with strong iman. He's prayed. He sat in the majlis. And it doesn't mean that you've done dhikr and you've prayed, you've become Abdul Qadir Jilani, Ramtarin, you're a sheikh, or you're Junaid Baghdadi, you've just done dhikr. No, no, no. When you leave the place of dhikr and go into the world, then shaitan is there with his arrows. It's hard for you to even reach home with iman strong. You need protection continuous. We are in such a place stuck that we are in a challenge, in a test and examination. Yes, we could fall into the trap anywhere. Have you seen? You know, the police in the night, they're driving around, because at least we'll find someone selling cannabis or criminals. So shaitan's wandering around outside. Yeah? That, for example, shaitan says, I won't let him get home safely, safe and sound. Shaitan's on a mission. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you enjoy what I'm saying? So then what happens after that? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I will assist you and help you, that you start doing the right work. SubhanAllah. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you follow my guidance, said the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because if we follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we will be leading ourselves to Jannah. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you follow my instructions, guidance, and you have the concern and worry to save your eyesight, SubhanAllah, then he stated, then what happens? That such iman I will give to you, Allah says. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you will attain such iman, you will acquire such iman, not just iman, but you will get the taste and enjoyment of iman. So we were just talking about iman, but not just iman now, you will get the tip of the iceberg, you'll get the great enjoyment and taste of iman. So what is the taste of iman now? What's the question here? The question arises. SubhanAllah, I'll give you an example now of taste of iman. When you get the taste of iman, SubhanAllah. You know, the people who are martyrs, shaheed, when they pass away in the path of Allah, when they leave this dunya, then when they go up to Allah, they make a unique request. That Allah Ta'ala, please send me back to earth, so that I can pass away again. So again I come back to you, then you send me again, so I pass away again. In other words, they are requesting Allah, why? So much enjoyment there was in that shahada. So much enjoyment that Allah, time and time again, I want to do the same. In what? That I want to give my life, Allah Ta'ala, for your deen. So this taste in amal, in deeds, in every action, when you acquire this taste and enjoyment, this is called the enjoyment of iman, the taste of iman. So when you get the taste of iman, then you will not have any hesitation in practicing a deed. You won't be upset, you won't be tired. Rather, if you don't practice that deed, you will feel distress. And you will get enjoyment and satisfaction in reciting Quran, praying tahajjud, in any action you do. Any action, if you've got taste of iman and you hafiz Quran, you won't be satisfied. That when Allah Ta'ala says that, subhanallah, that in the morning that maqam I give to you when you recite Quran, you will get that station. Allah Ta'ala, there are times Allah Ta'ala has selected for his ibadah. When you do ibadah at that time, then you acquire the taste of that ibadah. You can read Quran all the time if you want, but the time Allah has appointed that read Quran at this time, then read at that time and see the enjoyment. But we don't read at that time because we want to read when we like it, whenever we feel like it, open the Quran. That's fine, keep on doing that. But the time Allah Ta'ala has apportioned and recommended, like Fajr time, you'll enjoy praying Fajr Salah. And if you pray Isha at the time Fajr, same ayah, same verses, no, not accepted. Because Allah Ta'ala has selected the time of Fajr time. Allah says, from this time I want you to do this action. And this is what happens. Yes, for example, dhikr. Allah says that dhikr in the morning and the evening, this is select and unique time. At that time, don't do any other action, no Quran, no other action. I want you just to do my dhikr and my remembrance at that time. And whoever does dhikr at that time, immediately Allah Ta'ala says, immediately at that time Allah says, you get the reward of one hajj and one umrah. Here we go. Here we go, Allah says. Because you did the action at the time that Allah Ta'ala selected and that He was pleased with. So when at that time the individual gets up, like tahajjud time, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, Allah says in the Quran, to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was fard on him tahajjud. But those who do tazkiyah, it's fard for them as well, compulsory. Why? Because when they get the enjoyment of iman, the taste of iman, when they get the taste and enjoyment of iman, then they won't stop, no sleep will stop them. Yes, Allah Ta'ala says further in the Quran that they are tossing and turning during the night. They're waiting, they get the enjoyment. I want to do wudu, wake up, and I'd read those du'as. And according to the hadith, I do all those deeds. And then when I stand up, and then I do sujood and prostration, remember Allah. This taste enjoyment, at that time, when the taste of iman comes into you, then you will feel that, yes, I've got iman within me. When you feel that taste and enjoyment, that sensation. So just small steps, I'm giving you an example here. Your fear will come out and hesitation will come out of your life and you won't be fed up anymore. Oh, Ramadan's come, I have to keep fast now, I have to do this now. But when you have taste and enjoyment of iman, you've got total enjoyment in whatever action that you practice. You understand the point I'm making? So such a great action, the whole deen is giving you the heights in every action of the deen. What does it all depend on? Everything? On your eyes, your eyesight. Has anyone paid attention to this factor? Your gaze, your eyesight, what you're looking at, what you're not looking at. Now tell me, where are we stood? Where are we? Where are we at right at the moment? Tell me, our salah, our fasting. We have made such a system. We've made our own system of life. Oh, I'm following the deen. Oh, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah forgive me, I've done 10 umrah. I've done this many tasbih. I've done this much practice. My brothers, do less, but do it according to Allah Ta'ala's desire, the way He has instructed. Yes, Allah Ta'ala won't give you any difficulty. Burden. Allah says, do less in the quantity, do it at the time. Allah Ta'ala said, do that deed and you'll be fit, totally strong. Your energy in iman and power will be strong. So the actions that we can't do, we do according to our desires, is because we don't have taste of iman, enjoyment of iman. Now, in this day and age, to protect the gaze, the eyesight is the biggest mujahidah in this day and age. This is not some minor hard work, minor effort. You understand what I'm saying? To protect your gaze, what you're looking at. Why? Because if you pay attention. So in this is not that somebody's old, 80 years old. Everyone's young in this respect, the gaze. 80 years old man, was he? Oh, shall I get married second time? Oh, I need to live my life. Oh, I need some relaxation. So your nafs desires will never make you feel you're old. Never will your nafs make you feel weak. Completely, your nafs will keep you thinking you're fit and strong and energetic, ready for anything. Because any action that takes you far from Allah, your nafs will make you do that. Say subhanAllah. You don't like what I'm saying? Yes? Any action that takes you far from Allah, the nafs will present that action to you and make it sparkle and glow. So nafs is never weak. Never weak. He says, you can do this. You're not weak. You're strong. You can do this action. Yes? Look. Oh, you know, you look, that woman smiled at you. Maybe you're still looking good and you're still young. So that's the message of the nafs here, the desires. So in any condition or form, the nafs desires never leaves a person alone. Always is attacking him, the desires, the base desires. The eyes, your gaze. How will the nafs leave your gaze? In this day and age, when you leave your house, you go outside, you can just look around you. Who stood around us? Women, everywhere. So there, the human being, will he not look on the streets? And then when you see with your eyes, do the thoughts not come into the heart? Does the negative feeling? Then when you leave one, then you go this way, you go this way. You can see outside. And then after that, for example, when you look left and right, and you look all around you, there's, you go to the shops, there's everything around you. Fitna, fasad, the game's being played openly. Yes, I'm a muttaqi, I'm pious, I'm a wali Allah, and you're wearing the libas, but the arrow is piercing your heart. Arrow is piercing your heart due to your gaze. Why? Because you're not protecting the eyes. If you're not protecting the eyes, then the arrows of shaitan are coming all the time. Your iman is being diminished, and you think that you're a muttaqi and you're fearful of Allah. This is a deception, my friends. Understand yourselves. This is a fake drama. A person will be buried in the khanqah. When he goes to the khanqah in front of the teacher, the kamil sheikh, the complete sheikh, the student is bare, naked in front of the, all his sins exposed. He says, I'm nothing, my teacher. So this hadith as well, that the friends of Allah, they look at the student with the vision of, they want to protect their student. Protect the student. Allah's given them nur-e farasat. That, for example, a doctor, a physician, Allah's given the doctor the skills, the formulas, the medicines that they can look at the patient. They learn, they've developed their understanding and knowledge. For example, if the doctor hasn't got instruments to check blood pressure or BP or diabetes, etc., how will he treat the patient? So Allah Ta'ala, inside the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, Allah's given them instruments through which they look at the student, they assess the student. They assess the student. The wali Allah, the sheikh, the teacher. Allah's given the maqams, the levels, and the methodology. Yes, and with this, the liar sheikhs, they start their work. Yes, they get hold of students. They say, recite this. Was, oh, I know about you. You've got this weakness. Oh, I do this. I know your background. I know your future. Because they're liars. They say, we're walis of Allah as well. And those people who are greedy for the dunya, they want to end the dunya. And the student who's greedy, who doesn't want to cure himself, wants a shortcut, he goes and accepts that type of teacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the student's not sincere, nor is the teacher sincere. So even here, the nafs will make you, give you a wrong influence. Oh, that sheikh, he's the real sheikh, but he talks about sharia and sunnah is too hard, you can't practice that. Go to this other sheikh who just gives you easy way out. Yes, so Allah says, again, he is falling prey to shaitan and his nafs. Islah, your rectification will happen at that place where you will get difficulty in practicing the deen, where your nafs will be broken and challenged. Yes, where with the nafs you do worship and your nafs is getting fat and increasing in size and getting more happy, you will not do tazkiyah there. Remember, Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, they always pinch the individual. Yes, the path, the way of life Allah Ta'ala has given to us, it always is difficult in the beginning. Remember this. And when the shaykh gives you wrong prescription, who's not a true teacher, remember there are two types of ibadah. One is the ibadah of the nafs, and one is the ibadah according to Allah Ta'ala's instruction. If you follow Allah's instructions, that will pinch your nafs, give difficulty to your nafs, pain to your nafs, and you'll feel that I've done ibadah. But when you do ibadah according to your desires, oh, I'll just do what I want, when I want, at what time I want. Yes, with enjoyment, and when I'm tired, I'll just leave it. So in the khanqa, the wali Allah, the ibadah that he initiates for the student is against the nafs, against the desires. In the opposite direction. To crush the desires. So now, the gaze. Do you understand how dangerous is the evil gaze? Looking at the wrong things? So this is the principle of Naqshbandi. This is principle number two, say subhanAllah. It's not just dhikr. This is the principle number two I'm telling you today. The salik, the student, how much he has to do mujahidah in his life, he has to do zikr, and so much, same amount he has to do mujahidah to control his gaze. That's why we do tazkiyah sheets. Yes, if you, yes, this verse of the Quran I've told you, if you want to become a mu'min, a believer, wattaqullah, then you need to adopt and attain taqwa. And remember, the definition of taqwa we give is a very weird definition. Who do we call a muttaqi? Oh, he does a lot of ibadah, he does lots of prostration, and you see him a lot in the masjid, oh, he's got taqwa, he's a muttaqi, he's fearful of Allah. Brothers, this is not the definition of muttaqi. Who told you this? Muttaqi is that person who is cautious and careful, who is careful about not practicing any sin. Yes? Not the person who does lots of worship, he's not muttaqi. Muttaqi definition is that person who most of all, he looks around him and he leaves the sins, he rejects the sins, he shuns the sins, he stays away from the sins most of all. He is a muttaqi, he is the person who's got taqwa. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is the definition. Okay, now, so what's the cure? What's the cure? Naqshbandi order, point number two, principle number two. So, if I tell you, let's talk a short summary. So you've understood now how dangerous is this sin, this disease, and if you control it, what a great reward the Prophet ﷺ said, that you will die with iman, you get guarantee. You will leave this world whilst you're reciting the kalima, subhanAllah. What a great guarantee. So my brothers, my colleagues, I'll give you 1 second, that every man, don't be scared, every man, immediately in your heart make the intention that inshallah, tonight after tonight, from tomorrow morning, that when I leave my house, then I will protect my gaze, my eyesight. Make that intention. Make that intention in your heart. Because Allah Ta'ala goes along with your intention. So have you made intention, everyone? Don't worry. Don't hesitate. Yes. How will I do this though, you're thinking? Say, I'll do it. Because Allah will help me do it. Yes, so I've understood now my iman is in danger due to the evil eye, due to my gaze. It's running with my iman. So I must save myself. Protect. Okay, now, Naqshbandi terms I told you. Nazar bar qadam. So this is the principle number two. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us in hadith. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? Shall I tell you how to protect your gaze? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What's the protection? That how keep learning how to lower your gaze to look down towards your feet. Where should you keep your gaze? Down on the ground towards your feet. Not the gaze should not lift up and look around. Say subhanAllah. Who lifts the gaze up to look around? Shaitan. And who drops the gaze? Allah, the Rabb, the Lord. So if you lower your gaze, Shaitan will lift it up. Who will lift up your gaze to look around? Shaitan. And who will tell you to drop the gaze? Rahman, Allah. Yes, so don't let the gaze lift up. Keep it down towards your feet. Where you're walking. And this is the verse of the Quran. Allah's guided us. Allah says, lower your gaze. Allah has guided us in the Quran. Lower your gaze. What a beautiful, excellent practice. What a beautiful solution that the human being, he gets the taste of iman. He gets the death with iman. Alhamdulillah. And further, the greatest reward beyond that, is that when the human being practices on this solution, then he gets another fantastic reward at the same time. The Prophet of Allah says, this is my sunnah, practice this, lower your gaze. And whatever is the sunnah of the Prophet, if you practice that, lowering the gaze, you'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. Martyrs, my brothers, what else do you want? What else do you want? So from today we must practice that we must lower, where? Keep our gaze down towards our legs, our feet. Don't lift up your gaze. The rest, mashallah, I will keep on explaining to you. The person who's diseased with this, there are tactics, there are other ways of controlling the gaze. I've just given you a basic sketch today. Introduction. Yes, because there are certain types of patients who I'm giving them the cure, my friends, my colleagues, students. So mashallah, they're honest and you should be honest. Sometimes 3 months, 4 months, it takes a year to get rid of this disease. This disease doesn't get eliminated quickly. No worries. No worries. Keep on working hard. Keep on making effort. Allah says, keep on working hard. I'll give you the success, Allah says. So then, mashallah, you have to extract that marad, that disease. I call them, invite them, explain them. This is the power of my night, you could say. Yes, this is the connection I have with you. What the connection I have with you? What's our relationship? What's the benefit I'm getting or you're getting from me? Tell me. Do we have any benefit mutually? It must be some benefit of sitting together, isn't it? Tell me and you, our love is due to the love of Allah. Yes? So I love you, I made a connection with you for the sake of Allah. And maybe you also have that connection with me for the sake of Allah's love. So when you have the love for each other for the sake of Allah, that's the greatest love. And whoever loves somebody else for the sake of Allah, will you sell that love? Yes. Will you give a deception to that person or cheat that person? Will Allah not ask me? You had a weird love. You loved that person for the sake of me. You didn't save him. He was drowning. And he's stuck now. And he was had a connection with you, but he got stuck. He fell in the trap. Say subhanAllah. So we should help each other. So inshallah, those who are serious students who follow my guided instruction, I call them. And they say, oh, I'm an empty box, I'm sinful. They come, they sit down, they go. And for example, some people, they'll just come, sit in dhikr, go in muraqbah in the morning. No, there's more deeper connection than this. Not just sitting here for dhikr. We should save ourselves, each other, from jahannam. We should present our sins. This is my sin. I keep doing it. I don't mind. Doesn't matter how many times you sin, but at least come forward and be upfront that this is my sin and this is my deficiency, so I can get the cure. Say subhanAllah. So I don't tell anyone, run away, you're sinful. The question doesn't arise. Yes, does anyone tell his children, run away? If a child of yours is spoiled, do you tell him, get out of the house? No, tell him with the love. Explain to him. Sit him down, give him love and affection. And a person who doesn't think he's got a defect, then that's the biggest sickness and disease and defect. A person who doesn't consider a sin as a defect, no, I'm pious, I'm clean. So many sins of the nafs, desire. If I start counting, then many, more than 40 sins I will extract of the sins of the nafs. Yeah? So if you don't have these, then what are you? Are you so pious? Are you like Mahdi alayhi salam that you have no sins today? Yes, a person who has no sins today in this day and age, how can it be? So much piety you've got, such a high great status, subhanAllah. The Sahaba Karam used to night, all night long, they used to cry. And today we are living in the world now that we think we have no sins attached to us. No, don't deceive yourself. Allah is saying you are deceiving yourself if you think you are pure and clean, you have no defects. Why do you deceive yourself? So we say that we have iman, but Allah says these people don't have iman. Allah says these people aren't mu'mineen. They are not the believers. يُخَادِعُونَ الَّذِينَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah says that they are deceiving Allah and the awliya Allah. Rather, they are deceiving themselves. And Allah says that many sicknesses are within them and they're suppressing them, they're hiding them. When, look, if you're doing tazkiyah, if you're doing purification and you go to the teacher, the guide, thousands of sins he'll extract from you if you're honest. When you go and stand in front of the mirror immediately will tell you the reflection that how many defects you've got on yourself. You understand the point I'm saying? So don't think you're complete and perfect. You prayed 4 salah and 5 salah. I'm lofty, I'm pious. No. Yes. So just one disease I've told you today. What a deep sickness this is, sin. Who will be saved from this? Who? Which person will be saved from this? And for the women folk, our sisters, yes, they are also, just like the men, in front of the ghair mahram, you should not go. Doesn't matter if he's your first cousin, he's the son of your chacha, the son of this person, or he's a relation, or he's my brother-in-law, or my brother-in-law's brother, mashallah, this is our society, this is haram. All of this is haram. Your gaze should not rise and look at the ghair mahram. The person who's not lawful for you. Oh no, I go in front of that man with niqab. Even then, if you've got the niqab, that he can't see your face, but you're still making the sin, doing the sin, and without the niqab, subhanAllah. Without the face covering, the hal today is such, this is the hal today, what a big sin. That a woman, if she goes out without the niqab, then what is she doing? That all of the men who look at her, then they are the people who are, they are the people on the day of judgment. They will ask the woman that all these men who were looking at you and you invited them towards sin, the invitation towards the sin of the eye, that without the niqab you left and they looked at you. And so you are a criminal and you invited the sin. All of those sinful people who committed this sin, the punishment for this will be given to you. This is because they are your clients, you could say, of sin. So don't wear niqab if you don't want to. The face covering. Can this be that a woman leaves and goes out, and her gaze is down, but she doesn't have niqab on her face, then all of the people that look at her, they are being invited towards, she's inviting herself when she leaves, that look at me. So all of those people who are viewing her, the viewers, those viewers will be presented on the day of judgment, that you invited them towards the sin, you left out without the burqa, the niqab, all those people who viewed you, and this sin that you invited, all of that punishment will go on that person's account. So calculate now all the women folk, the sisters who leave the house without the niqab, the how much sin they are accruing and they are collecting. But Allah is Rahim. Today, if the woman does tawbah, all the sins forgiven. If any sister is listening and understanding what I'm saying, then immediately do tawbah, repent, and that after today, I'm not going to take my niqab off, subhanallah. Allah is so Rahim that all the previous sins are forgiven. And Allah says that all the viewers you had previously, they will all be transformed into good deeds. Those views. So before death, do tawbah, repent. So women, folk, sisters, very dangerous this sin as well. The wrong gaze. No, I don't look at the men. I just go, I'm not looking at them. I'm just going out shopping. I was going and doing this and that. I'm not looking at the men, the sister says. But your face you make up so much that others look at you. You're attracted to you. You do makeup and beauty so that people look at you. Yes, so other people look at you. Well, they look at you and cast their eyes towards you. As soon as they look at you, then the sin will go on your head. Because you invited that gaze. Yes, and you will be the person who takes that sin. Because that person will become your viewer and the men are there. The man, he goes out, he's looking around. So for both the instruction is man and woman, that if a person you're looking at is ghair mahram, all of them haram. It's not just permissible to go in mixed gatherings where the other sisters or brothers, oh, he's the husband of my sister, he's the this relative, that relative. They're all haram. All ghair mahrams are haram for you. You cannot sit with them, look at them. There's parda. You have to observe the parda, the barrier. But we have no parda today. We have no law in our lives today. We don't consider this as a law. Tell me. For this reason, this is the instruction in Islam, that as soon as a person, for example, is there, you don't need to collect the sins and collect and accrue the sins. There's no benefit. Yes? Because there's no parda, there's no separation. The most dangerous is the in-laws. The in-laws, they are the most dangerous relatives, you could say. That the sister's husband or the son and his sister-in-law, they are dangerous for each other. There are many events that take place within families. Such events take place, if I tell you, you'll be shocked, amazed. In this country it happens, everywhere. Such haram actions take place. Why? Because we are breaking the principles, laws. You are all living together in the house and someone's looking at this relative and talking to that relative and they're ghair mahrams, unlawful for each other. And this is the same punishment that you'll have no iman. You're, I'm doing dhikr, I'm practicing. You're doing dhikr and you're breaking sharia at the same time. So you tell me now. We shouldn't be doing this. We say, no, we're not following these laws. This Sharia principle doesn't apply to me. We reject these principles. So such a big subject, that such a big sin of the evil gaze, such a great statement the Holy Prophet ﷺ has taught us. There are many, many hadith on this subject. Many hadith. So my brothers, my colleagues, be cautious and careful that any ghair mahram, any man or a woman for a man or a man for a woman who is unlawful for you, don't sit with them, don't look at them, don't communicate with them directly, don't look at them directly. Your gaze should be low when you leave the house, not mixing within the home with relatives who are not lawful for you, in-laws, close relatives. And the next message, that when you lower your gaze, the hafsi dunya, harsi dunya, always the dunya, the greed increases when you come out in the dunya, you look around left and right, then shaitan will inject the greed. You look at this person, oh, his shop's big, look how nice is his house, oh, if only he had a car like this, oh, look at his business, his trade. When you keep looking around and comparing, then the sickness, oh, when did he open this shop? MashaAllah, he's very busy, look how much he's earning, the turnover, the greed increases in the dunya when you keep looking around, scanning and observing. So Allah Ta'ala has given a solution here as well. Even there's a solution. Allah Ta'ala says that if your gaze is not looking, then you won't realize what's happening around you. Whose car's passed me? Who owns this house, this asset, this building? Whoever looks around left and right. Then after that, when you've seen, after you've seen, your hasad, envy increases, then you start backbiting and gossiping about people. Thousands of sins you attain just by looking around all around you with your gaze. Say subhanAllah. So this is another learning. And one practice if we do in this regard, subhanAllah, then mashallah, the second, so remember I said to you, there are 11 principles in the Naqshbandi order, and today is we're talking about the second principle. This is a lesson. What a great lesson this is. Yes? And whoever doesn't implement this lesson, principle, then what iman does that person have? That if you don't have importance of a principle, how will you practice it? Looking. Using the eyes. For example, women, they look at adverts, newspapers. Today they look at TV, they look on their phones. All of these are big, big sins. Big, big sins. To look at the ghayr. Wherever you look at the woman, sister. Yes? It's the same sin. What sin? Shaitan's arrow is piercing you. Immediately impacts your iman. Lose the iman. So be careful. Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to die with iman. Yes? Allah says, if you want to depart this world as a mu'min, then you need to learn and develop taqwa, and you have to work hard for this during the life. It's not difficult. When the taste and enjoyment of iman comes, when you sit in the company of the shaykh and the taste of the dhikr comes on your heart and the heart is clean, then alhamdulillah, then all of these defects come out of the heart. And you will have no desire to look at the wrong things. Oh no, no, this is bad. I don't want to look at this. So it's from the heart that this practice emanates. That not due to fear or thinking or law will it give you the encouragement. It's your heart that will invite you to do good. Allah Ta'ala has connected actions to the heart. How? When the believer does dhikr of Allah, when you remember Allah, it introduces a light into your heart. Illumination. With that light, when it comes into your heart, then Allah says, رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْنَا نُورَنَا, that nur increases and multiplies and intensifies in the heart when you do dhikr of Allah. When that light increases, gets stronger inside your heart, then what does it do? Then he starts to dislike the dark and evil actions that the Prophet ﷺ defined as a sin. That's why the shaykh tells the student to do dhikr, remembrance of Allah. So my brothers, this tazkiyah, subject in the Islam, this is very important part of life and our deen. Tazkiyah. Without tazkiyah, your deen is incomplete. Your Islam is incomplete without purification of the heart. Your deen is incomplete. Yeah, so how long will you leave this important subject? You have to work hard on this. You must. It's essential. So this is everywhere around us. TV, people watch. What is it that you will leave? Yeah? Whatever you do, wherever you look around, but alhamdulillah, from the heart it will come out, the desire to do that sin. From the heart, if you extract it, then you will leave that sin. Yes? If the importance of that sin comes on your heart, then you will leave that sin. Yes? So, doesn't matter what comes on you, so leave that, I don't want to look around, I don't want to look at this, let me do tasbih, let's do talawat of Quran. Don't do this wasteful talk, this is wasteful looking at this. Automatically Allah will eliminate from your heart the desire to do these wrong things. To look at the wrong things. Otherwise you cannot leave this dunya with the iman, with the success. Right deen, you must do the right effort to get the right conclusion. Anyhow, so we need to do dhikr as well. So I'll conclude here, summarize here. Alhamdulillah, let's do dua to Allah. That Allah Ta'ala give us a solution from this big, big disease. May Allah protect us from this disease of the evil gaze. And on this, may Allah give us the tawfiq ability to practice the solution. May Allah give us the ability to work hard and effort. وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّ سُبَلَنَا. Allah says, until you don't work hard and make effort on something, then I won't show you the solution, the path, the way out. You must take steps to work hard on eliminating the problem, Allah says. So, keep your eyesight protected inside your houses, purify your house. Gair mahram should not be living amongst each other. They shouldn't be looking at each other. If there's an environment where you're living amongst each other, gair mahrams, then there's no forgiveness. Allah is ghafoor raheem. Allah won't look at this. Not at all. I'll tell you right now, this is your lesson. You will not earn anything. From dhikr, you'll not acquire nothing. You will get dhikr result from doing the right actions. Yes, from the shaykh you'll get nothing. You will have to get it from the result of your actions. If you do not implement the instructions and guidance of your shaykh based on the principles of deen, then, for example, if you don't do amal and practice on these principles and you do ghair shariat, non-Islamic actions, then none of your deeds and worship will be accepted. Where there's parda, where there's hijab, barrier. Lower your gaze. Oh no, no, no. She's my sister-in-law, or he's my brother's this and that. No. Where the Sharia defines this relative is not lawful for you, it's haram. Oh no, she's like my sister. We grew up together. She's like my mother. She's an elder. No. No. This is not our, wherever Allah says unlawful is haram. End of story. There are two opposite paths. If Allah has defined something as haram, a person who is haram for you, opposite sex, is haram. If it's halal, it's halal. Who are you to define in between? No, no, it's too hard for me here. And this is this, she's like the daughter of my cousin, and she's like my daughter, and she's related to me. None of these principles are in Islam. Allah has made the asool. This is Deenul Islam. And this deen we have to practice. Whoever implements that is successful. Who doesn't, then he's just half this and half that. And then he has given harm to himself. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's do dhikr of Allah, inshallah, for a short while.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المذنبين وطه وياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعظيم بعثنا أمين وزلياته وأهل بيته كما صليت إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلمنا حسن وجدنا خطوة عملنا كل صالح اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنبيين صديقين شهداء وصالحين وحسن أولئك ربيك اللهم استعبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما وكما ربياني صغيرا وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.